I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is the Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. Megan, we have a lot to talk about today. Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion, epic episodes of Beverly Hills in New York. But before we get into it, I want you to share with everyone the little project you've been working on.
Yeah, I would appreciate you didn't call it little, Eric.
You know? it's like shorty, you know? It's like
permanent experiment. I love you. So I have, as some of you know, been working on a digital series called Life After Bravo. We started with Kristen Takeman and then Jules Weinstein, both from Real Housewives of New York. And recently I got the chance to sit down, well, via FaceTime with Joanna Krupa and Lisa Hochstein, both from Real Housewives of Miami.
Were you totally taken aback by having to look Joanna in the face because she's so beautiful?
Look, Eric, it brings me to tears how beautiful she is. I don't understand. I love her so much.
Danny got very excited because he came across it by chance on social media. I forget exactly how, but every time he does come across something that we publish, I'm like, how did you see that? Where did you see that? We need to know. And he was like, oh my God. He was like, is Megan talking to Joanna? And I was like, yes, she is.
Oh. I was trying to tell someone because I was like, well, I knew Joanna before Real Housewives of Miami. And they're like, from where? And I was like, Maxim.
Right. From just life. I mean, it is similar to, I know Denise Richards, we'll get into it a little bit later, talks about being on the cover of every magazine, but Joanna is the same case, you know, like Housewives was sort of a secondary part of her kind of long-term career.
Totally. But yeah, so that is available right now on bravotv.com. And we're probably going to release it as its own podcast app soon. So make sure you guys are subscribed.
Yes, I would love to know what all of them have been up to. And I know a lot of fans are still obsessed with Real Housewives of Miami and just dying to know what these ladies have been up to since the show.
Also, Eric and I have been very curious where our new listeners are coming from exactly. So if you found us on Spotify, let us know. Slide into those DMs. And if you're listening anywhere other than Spotify, hey, we're on Spotify.
Just FYI.
I
do love Spotify. And I have also subscribed to the Daily Drive playlist, which is where our podcast has been popping up for a lot of people. And even though it's a commuter's playlist and a lot of people are not commuting, you can listen to us anytime, anywhere, but Spotify, iTunes, all the good stuff, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Okay, so can we please talk about Real Housewives of Atlanta Reunion Part 1?
Oh my God, yes.
My first thought was Kenya's daughter, Brooklyn, looks so big now.
I know. Well, it's really funny because when you're watching the show back, obviously it's about 6 to 9 months ago when you're watching any given episode and the kids always look so small. And these are the ages when they grow up so fast. And even though we're following Kenya and Portia on social media and you see their kids all the time, it's just when you're presented with that, you're just like, oh my God, like you forget how quickly these kids grow up.
Yes. And I mean, it was just interesting because obviously this is the first time we've had a Real Housewives reunion via virtual computer situation. And just to see their version of the women getting ready in the green room, Marlo reading a Bible before the reunion, I can't.
Now, I am saying it out there once again, I think I've said it many times this season, Marlo has earned her peach. Just give it to her. I mean, this presentation at the reunion, just her look, the room she was in, sipping on her alcohol, reading the Bible in advance. I mean, she just knows how to bring it. And I have my fingers crossed for her future on the show.
You've always been her biggest supporter, her biggest advocate. I've seen you pounding on the desks in Bravo execs' offices.
I'm like, listen to me. They're like, security. He's here again.
I also enjoyed that Andy was not wearing pants for this reunion.
Right. I mean, he's really taking a page from all of our books where most of us are putting together what we must for our work presentations, you know, on these virtual hangouts and things. But also, did you see not that long ago, there was a newscaster who was caught
with
his pants on. And he like tweeted shortly thereafter being like, Well, I always wanted to be well known, but didn't think it was going to be for this. Just be so conscious of the camera angles and the view, you know, just think about that. But also don't feel like you have to wear pants during this time.
Yeah. Self-care. All right. What did you think of the ladies' outfits?
Well, everyone looked fantastic, as always. I do like that it was sort of an all-white, which I didn't love of last year's Potomac reunion. I remember I wasn't into that theme. But given that the cast photo for this season was that really beautiful, chic, all-black look, and then the Greece trip, and then incorporating that into now the opposite of the cast photo, an all-white ensemble, I actually thought that that played really well.
Right. Yeah. And I know that Atlanta has definitely done an all white before, but mm-hmm. I really liked it. I like that Candy, who is presumably the richest of all of these ladies, is the only one who did her own glam.
Right. That's true. That's just Candy, though. You know, Candy's a little more down to earth in a sense than many of these ladies, I think, at this point.
You know, Eric, you don't understand this probably because you don't have breasts.
I do not.
But it's like, as someone whose own boobs are a little, like, side set, you know, like, some tops, you got to tape them together, right? You've seen the Kim Kardashian
body. In order to have,
body
you mean?
Huh?
To push cleavage, like, you need to tape.
Yes, because it's all about the cleavage presentation.
Right.
I'm not sure where Eva's boob tape was.
Neither is Eva.
And the fact that Portia said her boobs were social distancing.
Girl, them titties is aged hands. They social distancing. Bitch, don't come for me. You like them? You like them?
Portia really nails it when she needs to read somebody.
And that's the thing. Like, people remember her first season. Everyone called her dumb. You can't be dumb and be that quick. Like, she's so good. She's so good at the reads.
Yeah, she has refined her reads, her shade over the years. And she's so good at tying it into something relevant in pop culture, relevant for the show. She knows how to really bring it full circle. And I'm just so impressed by it. And I feel like I should be taking notes on her reads sometimes, you know?
I know that a big thing that came up in this episode, it was all about Nene and how she was on the apology tour this season and how she can be very strategic and political about her alliances. And then it was kind of the Wendy Williams of it all came up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what clip, what they're talking about, because I didn't see it. Whatever it was that I guess Wendy sort of went after Nene a little on social media. Do you remember that?
I do remember, I didn't see the clip of Wendy specifically, but I remember a lot of the press around it. And there was a bit of back and forth for a couple weeks when it came to Nene and Wendy and their friendship and who was telling who what and what they actually considered of each other. And it seemed like Wendy was sort of like, oh, she's an over there friend. Like, yeah, they're close, but they're not BFFs.
Right.
And, you know, when I interviewed Nene, and it's a conversation you and I have had, I brought up, like, do you trust speaking to someone like Wendy? Whenever you say something to someone like that, it's on the record unless you say off the record. So even if you're just calling up your friend Wendy, your pal Wendy, whatever she may be, and you're talking about what's going on with some of these women, there's nothing really stopping her from saying something else. So I don't know. It seems like, from what Nene said, their friendship is now neutral. So something tells me that the two of them
just don't talk.
They're not in a place that they used to be. And I think it's because Wendy has said some things about Nene. Nene has said some things about Wendy. And it's just not really helpful for either of them to go forward having conversations.
Why do you think Eva is so mad at Nene and so mad at Portia?
It seems like Eva has a bit of rage going on. You know, I don't feel like we saw a lot of her feud with Portia this season. A lot of it seemed to come after, once the show started airing. I remember things between them were not good at BravoCon, and during the Atlanta panel, it came up, but they really didn't dive into it because they obviously wanted it to play out this season and be able to be something that they could talk about at the reunion. With NeNe, I don't know. It's obviously a lot of people have had their issues with NeNe over the years, and particularly this season. It's a little bit of a mess.
I know that when I talked to Eva in the studio before, you know, the reunion taping, she said that she had a lot to say to NeNe. So she was fired up then.
That is so becoming of a grandmother.
NeNe, this ain't your fight. We'll get to you.
Baby, it's whatever I want it to be. Don't do that.
You just want to say that plum and try to turn it into a peach.
Right. Well, I guess it stems back to the finances. Is it tying all the way back to last season?
Yeah, that seems, I don't know.
I do think there's also a bit that goes on behind the scenes that we haven't seen. And it comes up in this reunion part one where they're talking about receipts and who's going after who and who's dogging who out. I wonder if it's really just that NeNe, as a housewife, doesn't think Eva delivers the way the rest of them do. And it's actually more of like, this is my show. We've all worked really hard to bring it to where it is. And you're not bringing anything to it. You know, like, I think maybe it's sort of something that NeNe can't quite say, but she has to find ways to just take digs at Eva so that we can all kind of read between the lines.
Thoughts on our first virtual walk-off?
I thought that was such a great dramatic moment because you could also still see the camera on and like the keyboard and the screen. Like, it was so ridiculous, but perfect in the moment.
I loved it.
Do you think NeNe really had to pee?
You know what, though? That's true. Because it's like, if you really need to, you know, they're strict about the bathroom breaks during a reunion taping.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So if you really want to or need to, the best thing to do is pretend you're just pissed and do a walk-off.
Right. We should also mention that the after show got a nice little shout out during this part one of the reunion.
Oh, right. Because it was Kenya and Candy making fun of Portia's, like, it's been so hard without
right.
you.
Her drunken tears.
I actually found that to be a very genuine moment.
And now I did too. And I think that everything that Portia went through with Dennis being pregnant, all of that makes sense that she would have liked NeNe to be around for that, because she talks about going through her first divorce with Cordell and how NeNe was able to really be there for her and support her and guide her through that experience. So yeah, if she's going through something just as challenging, if not more, because you're adding in the fact that she was having a baby, then yeah, someone like a big sister entity like NeNe is to her, she could have used that support through that experience.
Do you think the comment, PJ is a Dennis with a bow.
Baby, Dennis with a bow.
Do you think that that is a bad thing to say?
You know, it's really interesting. And I feel like I need to be delicate about how I approach this too, because I think you can load something like that up with shade if you really want to. And did Eva do that in that moment? Possibly.
Possibly. I think it's all about tone. Because if you were like, oh my God, PJ is a Dennis with a bow, like, then that is not
right.
a dig. That's just a fact, because she does look just like her dad.
Yes, but there's also something to be said of the attractiveness of the fathers in the situation. And it also reminds me of when I interviewed Giselle at the end of last season of Potomac, and we talked a little bit about Ashley Darby's son and how he looked a lot like Michael Darby. And, you know, we both in the interview were very careful to say anything rude or disrespectful, but there was a moment where I could tell Giselle was sort of like, well, he looks a lot like Michael, you know, and you know Giselle and her tone and her shade. And I was just like, ooh, I was like, oh my God. But yeah, I do think that PJ looks a lot like Dennis, and PJ is beautiful. So I think what Eva said could be interpreted as a very negative thing. And I think that's how Portia took it.
Yeah. I want to talk about this whole receipt situation.
This is really interesting because I love that Portia presented a prop, first of all. I thought that was fantastic. But Kenya went on to tweet after the episode that whatever receipts Portia is claiming to have are fake, and we're going to find that out in the next part of this reunion. So I don't know how a receipt can be fake. If it's a screenshot from a text message, unless that screenshot is doctored, things are moved around, which we have seen in the past. Teddy Mellencamp, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills last season, she only showed a part of a text and not the full context, you know?
Well, true, but just to be fair, she didn't doctor it. She wasn't like copying and pasting certain, yeah.
Right, it was just like only one text bubble from a series of text bubbles that was...
Which I do all the time, because sometimes if I want to send a screenshot to a friend, I don't want them to see what was said two lines above, so well, I have to do some cropping.
Of course. And when you are on the receiving end of that, you're like, what didn't they want me to see? Okay. Like, what was up there? Yeah, so I don't know. I guess there is some kind of receipt of, who is it, Kenya saying something about Cynthia? Is that what it was?
Yes. Portia says, I have receipts that Kenya was talking so bad about Cynthia to me.
And then Nene was also saying something about Cynthia. Is that right?
I don't know. We need to watch part two, stat.
The other thing I will say, and I appreciate any advanced preparation for something like a reunion. Nene also tweeted after the reunion aired that her reads were written down. I think when she went to close her computer, you could see that there was like a pad of paper or something written down in front of her. So she actually prepared her reads in advance, which I don't hate that.
No, I almost had wondered, did Portia, but then it's like you can tell in the moment, like, because she didn't know what Eva was going to look like, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Can't wait for part two.
I know. So I spoke with Sutton Strack from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and we talked a little bit about the all-in retreat with Teddy and why she was so emotional going into that event, a little bit more about that dinner where Dorit confronted her about freaking out before the DNA event, and also whose closet she would like to trade with, which she actually clarifies she would not be trading any of her items, but she'd like to take a peek in somebody else's. Here's that interview. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Sutton Strack from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Hi, Sutton.
Hi, Eric. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? How are you doing in quarantine?
You know, I will say this. I can actually, I've added exercise daily, but I don't care about eating and drinking. That's the one thing I'm like, no, we're not going to control that. I'll control the exercise. I start with step one. That's it.
I think that's enough. That's all we can expect of ourselves, right?
I know. It's kind of exciting. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm exercising again.
So you've worn some of the boldest outfits I think we've seen so far. But if you could trade closets with someone else from the cast, who would it be?
Well, you know, people ask me this a lot. I would not trade. I'm not going to trade my closet. Let's get that straight. Because, you know, I collect stuff. And so I would never trade. I might trade a few items.
Okay.
And if I traded a few items, I'm going for Erica.
Yeah, right? Okay, that's funny you say that because I did an interview with her a couple weeks ago, and she was like, I would probably pick Sutton. She was like, I haven't seen inside Sutton's closet yet, but I'm guessing there's some stuff in there I would like.
There's, you know what? It's funny because, you know, we all have our certain styles and way that we dress, but I think there's some things in there that Erica might really like that maybe we could make a deal on.
A little trade, like you said. Now, you're friends with Lisa Rinna. You have been for a while. Do you own one of Lisa Rinna's dusters?
I don't.
Well, we might need to change that.
I know. I guess I got to go get a duster.
I mean, it's perfect for quarantine.
One, but, well, you know, I know. If I had known, I would have bought the whole Lisa Rinna collection and just been hanging out looking chic.
Right. It's very true. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the situation with Teddy. When you guys finally get to the retreat, you were pretty emotional. And what made you decide to finally go, given everything that you and Teddy had kind of gone through?
Well, I think, you know, Cal talked to me after the whole thing. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to go. And she said, you know, you should go. And I had to have a moment with myself. I really almost did not go. And I thought, you know, I signed up for it. I'm spending the night. You know, I signed up for the whole kit and caboodle.
Right.
So I just thought, you know, when I had met Teddy with Just Lisa, I learned about what she was doing, and it intrigued me. And especially someone that's opening a new business, I wanted to see, like, how she's running her business, how she's dealing with her clients. I wanted to see what she did. I was truly interested. And it had been a while since I'd, like, taken a crazy fitness class. So I'm like, let's do it. And I decided to do it. And I felt like I owed it to her mm-hmm. to show up.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
You know, whether she wanted me there or not, I wanted to show her that I'm a good friend. I'm a solid friend. And when I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I told her that I was coming, and then we had a little riff. But I'm like, you know what? I just need to suck it up and go.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it was hard because, you know, it's a hard decision.
Right. Of course. Yeah. I mean, you're a little uncomfortable going into it, but I think at the end of the day, you know, it might have helped change your perception of Teddy in a way.
You know, 100%, because when we got there, I had like this little mild panic attack because this woman had told me not to come, and there I was showing up. So I felt
right.
very vulnerable in that moment. Like, am I not supposed, I don't know, is this the right decision? So it kind of freaked me out for a second. But I got out of the car, and there Teddy was with a smile on her face, and she was like, you look adorable, or you look so cute. And I'm like, okay, I got this. And then we went to go do like some sort of boxing thing. So it really, she was great at evaporating the problem.
Mm-hmm.
She really was. She made me feel welcome immediately.
Yeah, that's great.
Immediately. I was like, whew, okay.
Yeah.
I can do this. Now I have to go back.
Now, what did you think about the drama that unfolded between Kyle and Dorit over Dorit being late, getting glam, the whole situation?
Look, I was 100% with Kyle on this one because we got up really early and left. And honestly, I didn't look my cutest. And I'm just like in normal workout wear. And all of a sudden, Dorit shows up like, you know, workout Barbie and was late. I am totally on Kyle's side. On this one, I think we all left our children. She kept saying, well, I had my children and I had my children here too.
Right.
You know, I had to have someone take them to school too. You know, I had to make sure their lunches were made too. But yet I got here and you know what? It's a workout thing. I didn't care so much about what I looked like. I just kind of wanted to be there and be there on time.
Yeah.
So that was just my take on it. But you know, Dorit is Dorit.
That is true. And I know exactly what you mean.
I mean, it's like she's going to do what she wants to do. And honestly, if I could have looked like that and been on time, I would have done it in 2 seconds. Unfortunately, you know, this is like a ponytail gym clothes moment at, you know, 6 a.m. to get out there. Hats off to her for looking good.
Right.
I shouldn't say hats off. I think she had a visor on. Visor's off.
That's true. So jumping a little bit ahead, speaking of Dorit and kind of what unfolds between the two of you. After Amelia and Delilah's event at dinner there, you're sitting next to Lois, and Dorit kind of brings up the anxiety that you had going into the event, which was pretty justified given there was some kind of investment that you had made in Joey Maloof's app, and you were kind of nervous to see him. But what was it about the way Dorit brought it up that made you so upset at that dinner?
Well, because I think, you know, I kind of, maybe I didn't say it as soft-spokenly as I thought I did. Like, I was nervous that I was going to have to see my friend who I hadn't spoken to in a long time. And I just didn't want to have that moment at this event. And unfortunately, I expressed those feelings to Dorit. Note to self, don't ever do that again. Because after everything was fine, you know, the DNA event was beautiful. It was fun. Everybody was having a good time. We all go to dinner. And then why, Dorit? Why you got to bring this up? It was weird. Like, why? Nothing happened.
Right, exactly. You were just worried that something might, and maybe she didn't quite understand that the way you were expressing it.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of, you know, if I can be honest, I saw her in a different way as like a girlfriend. Like, this is not the girl that you go to with like a problem that you don't want everyone else to know about.
Yeah.
You know, because she just announced it.
Right.
And I was floored. It took me by complete surprise.
Yeah.
And upset me. It really upset me.
Yeah, it did come a little bit out of left field, I think, even from a viewer perspective, you know, like why she would bring it up sort of in that moment. But I'm curious to know about your relationship with Joey Maloof today. Have you guys been able to come past that? Are you still friends? You mentioned he was, I think you still consider him a friend.
No, Joey was like a member of my family. And, you know, I am one of those people that it's hard to shake me. Like once you get to know me and we're friends, even if I don't talk to you for a couple of years, I consider myself still your friend, and I'll still text you and bother you until you say hello to me again. I think, you know, I'm like, no, I'm still here. I'm still your friend. No, Joey and I are good, and I think that we have, in the past few years, both of us have had major life-changing things go on, and so, you know, I love him dearly, and I hope, I mean, we were like Laverne and Shirley, and I miss those days, but, you know, there's always the possibility that Laverne and Shirley can get back together.
Of course, yeah. I don't think anything is irreparable, you know, any friendship that seems to be as grounded as yours, you know?
Yeah, I mean, no, he's just a dear person to me, and he makes me laugh. He puts a smile on my face, and hopefully I do the same thing for him.
Now, also at this dinner, we see Denise and Kyle sort of go head to head. And what was your reaction to the two of them sort of getting into it?
Well, I think at that moment, I was just happy that people weren't yelling at me anymore. I'm like, oh, yay. Yes, y'all have a conflict now, please. Because I've had enough. It came out of left. That whole dinner is such a blur because I got so upset, like viscerally upset. And I kind of like went into, you know, when you go into like PTSD or like shock after you've had an accident.
Of course.
I was just in like post-accident. So just kind of numb, just like survival mode at that moment. I don't know where it came from. I don't know. I was just glad it wasn't directed to me.
Right. You were out of the hot seat for a minute. Denise said to Kyle, or actually I think Denise says in her interview that Kyle likes to be the center of attention. Do you think that as well?
No, I don't even know. And I love Denise. I don't think that is true at all. I think that Kyle and I are very similar people where we like to take care of people and make sure that everybody's having fun and that everybody, it's like this organizational kind of Julie on the cruise ship person. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of myself in her like that. I don't think Kyle needs attention on her all the time at all. I don't. I think if she does do that, it's because she's afraid that people might be like bored or not having fun. And so it's a way to like liven spirits. It's not about, I need the attention.
Yeah.
I am solid on that one.
Okay. I think that's fair. I think that's a pretty good assessment.
I'm right. I'm right on that one. I know I'm right. Sometimes mommy's right. And I'm like, I'm right on that one.
Well, my last question, because I know you have to run. Being from Georgia, do you happen to watch Real Housewives of Atlanta or know any of the Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Hell yes, I watch Atlanta. You know, I swear, I think I just have my TV on Broadway. I don't sit and watch it. That's my problem. So I like kind of like get glimpses of things, so I don't pay attention too much. But I love the Atlanta show. I don't know any of those girls. I have met, she won't remember this, I met Cynthia Bailey actually at Chateau Marmont, our mutual friend. I think it was a party for Dita Von Teese. I'm just going to name throw for a minute. And she was there. There was like maybe 20 of us. And my friend Cameron Silver hosted the dinner. And she was there and I met her and she was lovely. She doesn't remember meeting me. I will say that I was wearing vintage Paco Rabanne. You didn't ask me, but it was a good one.
But I'm glad to know.
Just got in a Paris auction. Paco Rabanne, amazing, from like a theater show or something. But she was beautiful and lovely. But, you know, that's the only, I've never really officially met any of the other people.
Well, I'm sure in the, you know, coming months, as soon as all of this blows over, you'll get your chance to meet a lot more housewives in the days to come.
Oh, Lord. Yes, well, and that's when we pray for me.
Yes, not, oh, absolutely.
It's not enough just knowing seven of them in LA. don't freak me out like that. Baby steps.
Well, thank you so much, Sutton, for joining us. I really appreciate it, and we're very excited to see the rest of the season.
So fun. Thank you. All right.
Of course.
Have a great day.
You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
See you later. All right. Bye-bye.
Bev Hills?
Yes. All right. I want to start Bev Hills by saying I was wrong. Okay?
That is true.
Okay.
Well, because I know what you're referencing.
I thought that maybe in the super tease, Lisa Rinna saying, tell me, what else should I do, Teddy?
What are we supposed to do, Teddy? Tell me.
Was maybe going to be in reference to something to do with, like, Teddy giving advice on Lisa's daughter. However, I was wrong. It was just as part of this whole disastrous Denise Richards dinner party where everyone was mad.
Everyone was mad. Everyone was not mad at first, talking about threesomes and all this fun stuff. And then it quickly spiraled out of control. And Kyle was in tears. Rinna was being, you know, a little much.
Well, and I have to say, I agree with Teddy. I think that there is a certain decorum when it comes to a group airing out issues. I don't think you can do it all at once because then it's a firing squad. Like, you let someone have an issue and let it sit. Don't just keep attacking someone. And by the way, I'm not even saying that I feel like Kyle is a total, like, isn't wrong in the situation. I just think it's the kind thing to do to sort of parse it out.
Yeah. Well, and we saw it not that long ago with Teddy at the dinner table at Kyle's, where Sutton was like calling her boring. Teddy got upset. And then everyone was like, oh, Teddy, oh no. And she's like, oh my God, guys, just give me 1 minute. Like, don't everyone, like, not everyone needs to be on me right now. And that wasn't even everyone attacking her. It was just all of the attention and the focus was on her and she was emotional and whatever. And that is sort of exactly what happened with Kyle. But there's definitely some underlying message with Kyle too in this moment where she's calling everyone out for being fake. She's waiting for people to reveal more than they have. You know, there is something unspoken that's happening here too, similar as to what we were saying about Atlanta and maybe Nene not saying the whole thing about Eva. But I'm interested to see how all of this and what Kyle is saying ties into what happens later on this season with, like, the fourth wall really being broken down when it comes to Denise.
Denise is kind of showing a prudish side, I think.
Right.
Like, don't get me wrong. I think that she's in a difficult position because she already has this reputation of being Charlie Sheen's ex-wife, right? Like, I just put it in the context of her kids having friends over and the judgment she must feel from other people are like, I don't know if I want my kids hanging out with hers.
Right.
So then for her to have a conversation about threesomes come up might make her feel very insecure about her parenting.
Definitely. I mean, she is, by all means, a sex symbol. And if you think of, like, 90s sex symbols, early 2000s, like, you think of someone like Denise Richards. So she would be top of mind for a lot of people. And she is very sex positive in so many ways. But I do understand that as a parent, and it's often not even like other kids, it's other parents that you have to worry about what they think of you and your lifestyle and your history and all of the things that parents have access to these days because Denise is famous. So I can understand her being a little bit more like, let's be careful around the girls. I have teens, they're impressionable. We don't have to talk so loudly about this. You know, I get that because it also does trickle down to her kids have to go to school and they have to probably see other kids and their parents and maybe they've said things about Denise and even the other women on the show. Who knows?
But I'm also of the mind that I shouldn't have to censor myself. I just don't. Like, I think it would be better if parents did joke with their kids about that kind of stuff. I mean, you know I shouldn't be doling out parenting advice, but I just feel like I get where Erica is coming from too, where she's just like, what the hell? how is it that you're allowed to talk about your husband's big dick and like getting happy endings, but the second someone else does, it's not okay.
Right. And I think Denise's point is, this is my house and yeah. I make the rules. And it's not like they were off on a camping trip where it was just the girls. So like those conversations were fine. But I think Denise is also like, in my house, these are the rules. And housewives and a lot of people get that way about what happens in their own home. It's like the one place you can really control what happens and what goes down, and you have the right to. So I can see why Denise felt that way. But also, you know, backyards, you know, in the house, one thing, backyards, a little more, you can be a little more loose, okay?
But also, maybe this is why kids' parties and adult parties are separate, you know?
Right, right. Wait, speaking of kids' parties, what do you think Jennifer Aiden would think about Garcelle's party that she threw for her son?
I didn't even think about that. What a good question. She probably like, would not be impressed.
A stack of donuts, Jennifer Aiden would never.
But it's also like you can tell, like as a kid, I kind of had, I was able to have like unlimited amounts of soda. Not unlimited, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Dessert was a part of my day. You can tell Garcelle is stricter. You know, she doesn't like her son ordering soda. So I think for them, the best party she could give them was donuts and soda. Like,
absolutely.
They don't get those things. And now they can.
I mean, my birthday is coming up next week. And I think the theme here is going to be donuts and soda.
Amazing.
Okay, wait. I want to talk about this Dorit restaurant situation. Because I see your note here, too. And I think we're both confused by this.
Because first of all, Dorit as a restaurateur, what? Like, that seems out of nowhere.
Yep.
Secondly, a Buca di Beppo? Like, that?
Right.
This isn't me judging or talking down about Buca di Beppo. I've only been once, and it was in Austin when I lived there. Isn't it similar to, like, an Olive Garden situation?
I think so.
Like maybe a couple steps up, but it's still a chain of Italian restaurants.
Well, right. And separate from what the actual establishment is, like the fact that it is a chain restaurant, but she's taking over one particular location and then able to change it and do whatever she wants with it. I am very confused by this venture, and it does seem completely out of left field because
it just seems off brand.
Yeah,
we're both feeling.
Yeah, and it seems like we only saw Beverly Beach launch in the last couple of years. So to already make your way into a whole new industry, this whole new business venture, I mean, Beverly Beach must be just going along perfectly fine for her to be like, oh, okay, well, I can start focusing on this other activity now. Because I mean, from what we've seen from Lisa Vanderpump and all of the things that she's done over the years, it's a lot of work. Same with Candy on Real Housewives of Atlanta. I mean, it is not easy to take over or open a restaurant. So I hope Dorit is prepared for all of that.
Okay, I want to talk about sort of the last part of the episode, because we have everyone gathering at Erica's clubhouse for pre-gaming. Then we have Lisa Rinna's daughter's DNA opening, unveiling thing, and then that dinner. All I kept thinking was, Denise really hates Kyle.
Oh, yeah. The feud is brewing.
The fact that Kyle's like, you know, I want us to go on, like, I want us to take a weekend to Santa Barbara because, like, I just finished filming, blah, blah, blah. And Denise is like, what, does she want a f***ing medal?
What does Kyle want, a f***ing medal?
Like, I shoot all the goddamn time for my show, and I don't make a big to-do about it.
Right.
She is so over her, and I'm not sure where it's stemming from.
I think Denise, given her career, understands what it means to be a working actress more than a lot of people. Maybe not more so than Lisa Rinna, for example, but still, I mean, Denise was a movie star. She's on a daytime soap now. And I can remember in college, we took a trip to New York City to do this like week-long, not intensive, but we just got to go to a bunch of different places, meet with a lot of different people who were working in the entertainment industry. And it was like this really great experience. And I remember we went to the set of, I think it was All My Children. It might have been a different soap. And we saw behind the scenes, like how they shoot it, how it all works and everything. And it was intense. Like, it was a lot of work. And knowing that they're doing that every day, so many lines to memorize, so much. I think Denise, from her perspective, to hear that, like, Kyle went away for a few weeks to shoot one movie and is like, oh my God, I need a break. This was so much. Denise is like, I don't think you understand what most working people go through, number one, and working actors go through, you know? So I just think she is sort of trying to call Kyle's bullshit a little bit.
Well, and what's that thing where it's like the culture of people trying to outbusy each other? Like, oh, yes. My life is so hot. It's just like anytime anyone wants the room to know they work the hardest is so obnoxious.
Well, and Dorit kind of pulled that at the retreat to Kyle. And Kyle was like, you don't think I'm busy? Like, I have a fucking life too, Dorit. So it is interesting to see now that sort of reaction from Kyle and then to see Denise get so annoyed with it. I think there's also like some Richards tension. She's like, I'm the better. Obviously she says, I'm Denise Richards,
Kyle.
Yes. I mean, I screamed.
So good.
So, so good. But yeah, I do not think we will see a very healthy friendship develop between the two of them through the rest of the season.
So as a big Dorit fan, I also want to point out that I don't just blindly support anyone. Okay. I felt Dorit was a bit in the wrong in this episode because as she was walking into the DNA party with Sutton, Sutton's like, I'm going to freak out. I'm going to get really upset because she thought her arch nemesis, this makeup artist, Joey Maloof, was going to be at the DNA party. Mm-hmm. Now, she was wrong. It didn't happen. That should kind of be the end of it. Except Dorit decides to tell the whole table at dinner. Yeah, Sutton said she was going to freak the fuck out.
She said, I'm going to freak the fuck out. I didn't say it like that. What is wrong with you?
It's like, right. Dorit, why would you do that?
I did not understand why she would have brought that up at all, especially with Lois at the table. Okay, let Lois live. She's in her 90s. She does not need this drama.
I think Lois loves it. I think she does too.
No, I agree. And I think Dorit was definitely overreacting. And maybe Sutton was too in that moment of being like, I'm going to freak out. And sure, when you don't know someone super well and they tell you as you're entering a venue with other people and they say they're going to freak out, of course, you might have a moment of like, what does that mean? Should I be worried? Like, let me just see how this plays out. But for her to bring it up after Sutton did not freak out was uncalled for. And I was also pretty surprised by the fact that Rinna didn't really come to Sutton's defense in a better way because she knows Sutton better. So as much as Dorit might not know how Sutton would react in a situation like that, I think Rinna could have stepped in to be like, well, actually, I know her. There's no way she would have freaked out. Not at my daughter's event. You know, Sutton is a Southern woman. Like, she has manners. I don't think she would ruin an event that was put on by Rinna's daughters.
But maybe Rinna doesn't know her that well. And I think it was for Rinna, the idea that Sutton would put her feud with this guy, Joey, like to have it even enter her mind, if he's here, I'm going to freak out. That's what pissed Rinna off.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know.
Well, you guys will hear in the interview with Sutton, we talk a little bit about this situation. And Sutton kind of breaks it down a little bit more, talking about how she and Joey are friends. And I think the reason she reacted that way is because they had such a great friendship and then business and money got involved. And I don't think that ever works well, like business and personal in a lot of ways. From my personal experience, I've seen a lot of negative things happen with that, you know.
What about you and me?
Well, that's different, obviously. But, you know, I have seen that in my career, just like people, money, investments, things not happening the way they should. And it just gets very murky and dirty and whatnot. So I think Sutton was more so afraid of just seeing a friend that she was having these really difficult issues with. And so it wasn't like she was walking in and like her big bad enemy was going to be there. It was sort of like, oh my God, I don't even know what I'm going to say to him if I see him. And that's nerve-wracking. We've seen Sutton. She's pretty sensitive. I mean, she was afraid to get out of the car at the all-in retreat.
And this is what's interesting. To Dorit and to most people, freak out means I'm going to fuck someone up tonight.
But right.
For Sutton, it means I'm going to cry, which you see. Because I like when she said to Dorit, you're not being nice. And it's like, Sutton, have you never seen an episode of Real Housewives? That's not what we're here for, sweetie.
That's not nice.
Right. Yeah, I think just Sutton did not expect Dorit to go there, and she was definitely taken off guard by that. But, you know, I'm also very curious for all of our listeners about, now that we're on, you know, episode 5, everyone's perception of Sutton, because I know there were a lot of, we'll say, mixed reviews in the beginning. And over the course of this season so far, she's really grown on me, especially after my interview with her. And I think there's a lot of hope for her going forward. So I'm really curious to know what everyone thinks about her, especially after this episode. Fun fact about Joey Maloof, for all the OG Bravo fans, he worked with Rachel Zoe.
Yeah, was her makeup artist, as well as, you know, he's Lisa Rinna's makeup artist.
Do you remember how big Rachel Zoe was for the longest time?
I lived for Rachel Zoe.
She was the it lady. Like, just like friends with everyone you want to be friends with. Dressed so well all the time.
She had the most beautiful children.
Let's bring Rachel Zoe back. We should see if she would do an interview.
Ooh, okay. I had an interview with Niall Lundgren from Camp Getaway, our newest series, dishing on what it's like to be an adult camp counselor and the drunk antics that tend to take place there. Here's that interview. So Niall, welcome to the Daily Dish podcast. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And also, welcome to the Bravo family. It must be so amazing to be on a first season of a Bravo show.
I know. It is very exciting. And I'm really just happy with how the whole Bravo community has been. It's been a pleasure getting to know everybody in the Bravo family. And they've been super welcoming. And it's been fantastic, not only on that side, but getting to know all of the other cast members on a deeper level and going through this experience together. It's just been really, really amazing.
How are you doing during this self-quarantine period?
You know, I'm trying to stay as busy as I can. You know, I'm in New York City. I have a relatively smaller size one bedroom apartment, but I do have a roof. So when it's nice out and it's been raining recently, I like to get up there and do some working out just to stay physically fit. But beyond that, you know, just still working on the show and working on putting out content so we could promote it. And just vibes are very, very high right now. Very, very high.
Amazing. So I want to know, what is your role exactly? What does it entail to be an activity coordinator at Camp Getaway?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's amazing. It's nothing like, you know, you'll ever think about in the adult world. So As a you know, social coordinator, activity coordinator, what we do is we host the guests. So we're responsible for them having fun. A lot of the guests who come to camp don't necessarily know people. They come solo. And our job is to kind of help blend them both together, bringing them into the group, being inclusive. Not only doing that, but also taking and leading activities such as slip and slide kickball. We kind of all get together and have teams and we lead that and with all the safety measures, et cetera. There's mountain biking, there's hikes, there's tours. You could go water skiing, you name it. There's a million different activities that you could do throughout the weekend. And our job is to facilitate those activities and make sure one's uplifting and having an amazing time.
And is that different than what you do during the week in the city? You're a real estate agent, right?
Correct. Yeah. I am a real estate broker in New York City. So my job there is to sell condos, co-ops, and handle rental buildings and put people into property. So for that, it's a little bit different. It's where people live. It's very emotional in real estate and you have to be kind of calm. But the similarity is on the side of being super outgoing. And to be a successful real estate agent, you have to be outgoing and not shy. So coming to camp, you know, the first thing is that you have to be super outgoing. So that fit me very well. But, you know, opposite of what I would be doing in real estate. You know, I'm just having, I mean, obviously I'm having a lot of fun in real estate, to be able to leave the concrete jungle for a little bit and get up to camp in Kent, Connecticut, which, by the way, is where I went to prep school. So for me, it's just like a homecoming to be able to come home.
Oh, wow. I feel like you probably had a lot of firsts there then.
I did. Kent has a special place in my heart, and maybe I'll say that I have one or two spare keys that I've kept throughout secret places in that around that campus.
Amazing. I want to know, because it's just the part of it all that I find so attractive, is what is like the drunkest situation or drunkest antics you've sort of seen at Camp Getaway?
So first off, it's an adult getaway camp, so you can drink. We do play cup. There are happy hours. You know, that we have a wake and shake party on Sundays where people are drinking and, you know, having fun, even early in the day. So it does happen early and it does happen often. I can tell you that there are some things that you'll probably see this season that may or may not include Glenn, but I'll leave it there. And I think he had his moment. Yeah. One of the campers is on a Friday night. Somebody got very, very wasted, and the ambulance had to come.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. From my understanding, they got a little too drunk. So, yeah, I mean, people, it's rare. That's on the rare side.
So what were your first impressions of your coworkers?
Well, the first day when we went up there, it was a shock for me to see who some of the coworkers were, because, for example, Neely Fortune, she actually dated a friend of mine. So everyone else to me was just a new face, but I felt comfortable having somebody in my little social coordinator crew like Neely, that we can kind of go through the experience together. So yeah, it was just nice to have a friendly face when I showed up.
What are your thoughts on staff when they hook up with guests?
Certainly hook up with guests. The only rule is no one's allowed into the can't like the counselor's cabins. So you can't have anybody into the counselor's cabins. And you're supposed to not be in their cabins if you're a social coordinator. So there's the woods, and there's some cool spots that you'll find during a summer at Camp Getaway that you could certainly utilize.
Such as?
sort of like my key, you know, key.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are little keys around the campus that you could hit up.
You know, there was a lot of talk in the first episode about Adam's like overall laziness and lack of ambition. What was your take on him as senior activity coordinator? And did that change over the course of the summer?
At first, Adam was pretty laid back about the whole thing. And when I got there, Adam was my mentor. So he was assigned to me. And I was, you know, just excited to get to know how the process works. And Adam was more like, yeah, don't worry about it, man. Everything's cool. Just like, you know, take it easy. And, you know, I was like, wow, you know, if I'm here to do a job, I thought it would be a little bit more intense or involved than just like taking it easy. I don't think he did the best job at mentoring me. But throughout the summer, you know, I don't think he, you know, being a mentor necessarily is like his strong suit. But throughout the summer, we developed a great relationship. And, you know, I realized later on why he had that, you know, lackadaisical attitude. And the reason being is that it's camp. It's like we work so hard throughout the week, and we need a place to release and just let low and be cool to put much stress on things. And Adam, you know, at the end of, in hindsight, I saw where he was coming from, because he is experienced and he has, you know, been at Camp Getaway in years past. So, you know, he understands that laid back kind of atmosphere and vibe that you have to put out. So, but at the end of the summer, I got it, because I was exhausted. And I was like, oh, now I get it. This is what Adam's talking about. Just be super.
Was there a moment ever this season that you regretted anything that was shot?
You know, that's a great question. I would say that I, you know, was very aware all summer and always put my best foot forward. So, you know, I don't have any regrets, and I don't live life having regrets. So I put my best foot forward always, and, you know, made sure that I was always looking out for the guests and for the interests of the folks out on campus. And if something comes up a little negative, you know, it is what it is. I'll take it in stride, but I'm very proud of, you know, everything I did last summer.
That's great. So never a point where you wanted to quit filming.
Yeah. So, you know, there was, for me, I am very comfortable in front of the camera. I've always, you know, made my own vlogs and done my own videos and done some producing. So it's been fun to be on the other side of it and to just be you. And, you know, it was hard, but there was never a moment, you know, maybe there was like, all right, you know, enough is enough. And we're just so tired from the whole summer and everything like that. But for me, I just enjoyed the entire process. It was thrilling for me and everyone who I was around. I was just surrounded by true professionals. And, you know, there's nothing better than to be surrounded by professionals and be able to just be you and do what you love. And I think it was really, really successful from that standpoint.
That's great. I know that everyone is really excited about this show, and I so appreciate you coming on the show to tell us about it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored.
All right, Real Housewives of New York.
Apple picking. Did they actually pick any apples?
I saw Luann pick one from a tree and bite into it.
All right, it counts. Okay, so before we get into the actual adventure to the vineyard, this episode, there was a lot going on for our girl Tinsley, or Tinsdale, as Martin was calling her in the beginning.
Oh my God, I love Martin.
I love Tinsdale, too, because it's a combination of Tinsley and Dale, and they're two of my favorite people on Bravo. I honestly think that Tinsley could make more progress with this guy Martin than she could with a therapist, because there is some unexpressed rage going on in Tinsley's life, and I feel like boxing is the way to do it. And I think Leah sees it, and she knows it, and she's like, you need to come out, and you need to punch some things with me.
But even beyond that, the way that she is someone who's so like, I don't know. No. He's like, no, you do know. You do know how you feel. Identify your feeling right now. Like, it forces her to do it.
Yeah, because I do think deep down she does know what she wants, what she's after, but she just is very hesitant to express it for some reason. What did you think of Leah's apartment?
I thought it was an apartment in New York. Like, what is wrong with her apartment?
I don't think anything, but apparently Luann feels differently.
So what do you think of Leah's apartment?
Do you really want to know?
Luann is such a snob. Such a snob. Like, I get it. You are very rich. Not everyone lives like you, Luann, and that's okay.
Well, also, let's think about this. Sonia downsized from her three-story place on the Upper East Side to a smaller place off Columbus Circle. And I don't think Luann's thrown a lot of shade at the size of Sonia's new apartment, albeit correct, it's probably a bit bigger than Leah's at the moment. But like, what does, that's the whole thing about New York. Like, what else, what other space does Leah really need? She gave her daughter the biggest room in the house, which was really nice. And like, what else does she need? You don't need more than that to live in New York.
Yeah.
Well, so once they get into the apartment, they settle down. Luann gets past the size of it, and they start talking about their relationship with alcohol.
If I want to have a drink, I'm in at a point where I can do so if I want to. I'm not on probation anymore.
That's how I feel, too. Look, yeah. I mean, for years I didn't drink, and I'm like, this is crazy that I've been told that this thing right here is the end of it. My death is in this bottle. I don't believe that.
Listening to the conversation, I do feel like it was a little risky for some people to hear, because I didn't hear them reiterate like, this is not the case for everyone, and everyone's relationship with alcohol is different, and here's my journey. Okay, we can relate to each other. They very much relate to each other when it comes to alcohol, but there are people, probably people who watch the show, who are recovering alcoholics. And that mentality of like, oh, I am in control, or this drink doesn't control me, is
a little... But it does control some people.
Exactly. It's a little bit dangerous. And I just wish that they had one moment where they clarified that. And especially knowing that Luann has been to AA over the last couple of years. And when I think of the progress we've seen from James Kennedy, from Vanderpump Rules, for example, a lot of that has come from his experience at AA and being around alcoholics who have shared their story with him. So it just is a little bit like, okay, I understand that this is how you feel, Lou, and this is how you feel, Leah, but please, like, let's just acknowledge what a lot of other people have experienced when it comes to alcohol.
I will say, like, I just think it's so hard and difficult for someone to be dealing with what they are currently dealing with, which is, yes, we have had issues in the past. Does that mean we will have issues forever? To live that out loud on camera carries such responsibility with it.
Yeah.
Like you're saying. And I mean, they're just human. They can't You know, it's like when people say to celebrities, like, you're a role model for little girls. And they're like, I didn't ask for that. I don't want to be a role model. Like, I just want to be me, you know?
Yeah.
I think that they're in a similar situation.
That's very true. It's a really good point. And I think, especially in the last decade, even more, the way celebrity culture has infiltrated our lives, there is this expectation by a lot of people that, you know, people on TV need to be role models, but nobody is perfect and people are going to fail and learn and share their stories. And I think that is what it should just always come back to, is like everyone has their own journey and story to tell, but it's always good to just acknowledge that other people deal with things differently, have different experiences. You know, it's very layered now.
Right.
Should we get to the vineyard?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to say one thing, and maybe it's because I love Tinsley so much, but I think Dorinda needs to put some respect on Tinsley's name.
Listen, don't comment. My gum lasts longer than your relationship, okay? My gum.
Because frankly, she's American royalty. She was the it girl for a very long time. She's been in the spotlight a lot longer than most of these women in reality.
She was on Gossip Girl. For goodness sakes.
Exactly. But also, like, she had her own show and, like, she was all over magazines there. You know, she was a socialite before socialites like Paris Hilton became super famous for just being who they are.
Her own Dior lipstick.
Exactly. And I think that it ties into that whole thing, ties into why she might keep certain aspects of her life more private. And I think it's because she is used to the spotlight and she wants to keep her business closer to heart because she knows what kind of press coverage she can get for saying one thing, for doing one thing, for posting one Instagram picture. And granted, all of these ladies experience that now, given, you know, their visibility and their place in the spotlight. But I just think Tinsley's been going through it longer and everyone thinks of her as like the young one and she doesn't know what she wants and all of this stuff and her mom controls her. But she's really been out there in this world, in the spotlight, a lot longer than these other people.
I also just think Dorinda is completely unfair to Tinsley. She's just so hard on her in a way that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, Dorinda is obviously suffering at the moment. And whether it's somehow still grieving Richard because of all the things she was doing, getting rid of the other apartment and, you know, breaking up with John, which we learn in this episode has happened, but she's really taking it out on Tinsley. And it is why it feels hypocritical for her to be like, Tinsley, you need to open up and share more. But then Dorinda's, you know, to Tinsley's point, Dorinda's not talking about what she's really going through. And that's a breakup and all these other things. And she does open up a little bit more in this episode, but it was kind of weird at the end when she was talking to Ramona and she was like, I want to be remembered as like someone who brought joy and positivity into someone's life. You know, she's specifically talking about her breakup with John, but we're not seeing her bring a lot of joy and positivity to Tinsley's life at the moment, you know?
Right. What do you think about her and John breaking up?
I hate to say I'm not surprised by it because I'm not, but it does sadden me because there is a companionship that we've seen from them on camera. And I think I've seen it a few times off camera, just when I've been around Dorinda and John. They sort of complement each other in a way, in a way of like later in life companionship that doesn't have a lot of expectation, but they're still able to count on each other. So I've just been sort of like, maybe it is good for Dorinda to be single for a bit and just be able to focus on herself. But I do think she'll miss having that kind of relationship.
I think I'm just of the mindset that you shouldn't settle. And I feel like if you're not head over heels, happy, ecstatic to be with this person, maybe it's not your person and it's okay to keep looking.
But did Dorinda already have her person? And I think someone brings that up.
That's so sad, Eric.
Well, no, and I'm not... Right. And I'm not being like Sex and the City. Like, I think at one point in the episode, they say everyone has like three soulmates in their lives. And like, Charlotte's like, what if I've already had my three or something like that? Like, I don't think that's the case. I think soulmates are not just people you're in a relationship with, but friends and things, you know, there are all sorts of things. And I don't think that, you know, Dorinda has hit her limit, but I do think she had this one really great special love with Richard that may never be recreated for her. So yeah, I mean, it does maybe seem like she would be settling for someone like John, but you know, he's not a bad guy.
Yeah, no, not saying that. Yeah.
And I do think he might have at least one degree, Ramona.
I don't know, though. Do you have any?
I do not have proof. I will say, I do think that Ramona is showing a lot more perspective, depth, and kindness this season. Not always, but more than we've seen in her in a long time.
And meanwhile, Sonia's just getting wasted out of her mind.
Every single episode. I'm okay with that.
Me too.
Sonia's eggplant reference.
These are pot plants, right?
These are eggplant.
Oh, eggplant. I love eggplant.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
She's like, I love eggplant. I was like, yes, you talk about that dick emoji. Yeah. Should we do Rose and Thorn?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, what was your rose?
Absolutely. It was Dorinda's slurring of recognizance, which she was like, I'll do some recognizance.
Stay here. Let me do some recognizance.
I feel like that's just become the way she speaks, you know? Yeah. She's just like, it's fine. No matter what I say, people will get it. I'm just going to just say it however I want to.
What was your rose?
My rose was from Vanderpump Rules, and it is Dana's stand-up. And I think it was my rose the first time that we saw it. And, you know, we've talked about it before. It is so risky watching someone do stand-up, especially someone that you like. And I love Dana. I think we had a really good time when she was on the podcast, when we did this little, like, game where we tried to make each other laugh with dad jokes. And just seeing her go up there and be able to deliver with that dark humor that I know you appreciate, I was just like, yes. And I do wish that we got to see a little bit more of it this season. But if there's a next, maybe we'll see it then. What was your thorn?
The whole entire scene at the beginning of Vanderpump Rules, when it was Tom and Tom cleaning the sir bathroom, especially Sandoval being like, poop mist got in his mouth. Ugh.
Oh my God, dude. I just flung like poop mist in my mouth.
Well, he also put the toothbrush in his mouth at once. I mean, I think we were all Lisa Vanderpump in that moment. And she was just like, what are you doing? Like,
what is wrong with you?
Like, stop. Yeah, no, that is a very gross experience that we all had to live through.
What's your thorn?
My thorn is from Married to Medicine Los Angeles, and it is that Dr. Britton sleeps with her kids and not her hot husband, who has to sleep alone in LA place. And I don't think season one, when he, well, obviously Britton was living in LA and he was still back in Florida, but I feel like when they were together through that experience, they weren't letting the kids in the bed and they were probably sleeping together. Obviously they made children, so like they got to be sleeping together. But he is a very attractive man, and I am just saying, Britton, you should probably be sleeping in bed with him and not the kids. Kids are grown. They're not grown, but they're old enough. Next week, we have interviews with Dorinda Medley from Real Housewives of New York City and Charlie Burnett from Vanderpump Rules.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.